Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study in Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 through 25, titled The Heart of a Servant. This is part 2 of 2.
Hey, Greg, God sees all this. And if you believe in God, you believe He's going to reward you. And He's pleased with you. And I didn't even pray, Lord, strike them dead. I'm sick of them. You know, I didn't pray anything like that. But I thought, poor people, they don't realize this is going to come back to haunt them. It does. Because that bleeds over into all areas of your life if you work like that. It infects your life. This is the attitude. I wish I loved exercise as much as I love napping 3 times a day and eating 5 times the suggested serving size. See, people look at me and they probably, I'm just being honest. Every time a sodomite, especially, doesn't like something I say, they're like, you're fat! Is that an answer? Is that a debate? I mean, that I don't know how that helps your cause when you're debating. But, you know, I have a little extra weight because of medicines and illness and that sort of thing. And what's sad is, I know good and well that I might look a little overweight, but those people that are throwing those insults and everything, I bet I work circles around them. Amen. I bet I do. One of these days I'll find out. I believe that. Judgment. I believe in judgment. I believe it's coming. Now, I used to have this bumper sticker on my lunch pill way back in the 1990s. My boss is a Jewish carpenter.
Oh, yeah.
I had that on my lunch pail. I actually worked for a Jew. I did. He came in one day, and he's working next to me. And I'm thinking, why is the big cheese of this multi-million-dollar business in here in the mailroom with me? And he's making chit-chat. I realized what it was. After a few minutes, he got to it. He says, I couldn't help but notice your lunch pail. Like, oh, yeah, my boss is a Jewish carpenter. I said, that's pretty funny, isn't it? Because you're Jewish.
What exactly does that mean?
Now, think about that. I had the opportunity at that moment. And I said, well, you see, I work to please the Lord. And I figure if I can please Him, you ought to be pleased.
Well, that makes sense.
I said, so I work every day to serve a Jewish carpenter who's a reference to Jesus Christ. And I became a Christian when I believed on Jesus and how He died for my sins, was buried and rose again. I believe I was born again. The Spirit of God came in me and now makes me want to please Him. And that's why I say my boss is a Jewish carpenter. Now, I don't know this man, but I know his grandson came in later, and I was able to witness to his Jewish grandson. And his grandson told me that's the first time he'd ever heard the gospel. Now, why was he in there? It wasn't just the bumper stickers, because he was intrigued, because he saw somebody who didn't have to be told what to do. He saw somebody working hard.
Amen.
You're missing an opportunity to be a witness, because if you're not working as unto the Lord, then you're not performing up to par. Nobody cares what you believe. It's more like an infection. You can keep it. Amen?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what people think. Like, whatever you got, keep it. I don't need it. Here's some issues Christians have on the job. Dealing with the hostility for unbelievers. How many of you have been there?
Yeah. Amen.
What do? Remind yourself that what they think of you doesn't matter. You remind yourself that, you know what, they can hate me and despise me, but I'm going to work hard, I'm going to do my job, you know, and if they're able to somehow get me fired or whatever, I'm just going to go find another job, and I'll do that. And I was looking for a job when I found this one, amen?
Amen.
But what a lot of Christians do is they get upset, get mad, get tired of it, and they quit. That's wrong. Now, if you go find another job and then quit, that's okay. If you prayed about it, and then you find it, but you don't quit that job until you find another one, amen? How many times I've known Christians who have quit a job and then, you know, start hitting the soup kitchens and the food pantries because they quit a job without having a job. And so they're broke.
Put your social media on private for you.
Yeah, as we saw earlier, put your social media on private before you apply for the new job. Especially if you post things like Stephen does.
Yeah, really.
Another issue is the inability to work and talk at the same time. A lot of Christians have this problem. Now, yeah. You know, I type, I do this, and oh yeah, yeah. But the other, there was a couple of Christians I worked with, and I want to be careful that I worked with several Christians. And most of them were all good workers. But there was always one or two, and they come, and they stand there for 20 minutes. And talk. And I'd work and talk. And I'd get my work done. But they were stealing. They were stealing from their boss. 20 minutes, because they still took their break and their lunch. But they stood there and talked for 20 minutes, stealing from their boss. Now, I'm just telling you, I remember the first time somebody told me that. I'd never thought of it. I'd been working for a few years and somebody told me that. And listen, it doesn't matter. Even if other people are doing it, you're supposed to work as unto the Lord. So what do? You can talk all you want as long as you keep working. I mean, if you're painting, can't you do this and talk at the same time? Amen? Driving? Can't you drive and talk at the same time? Don't text and drive, but you can talk and drive. I mean, not most of us can do that. Whatever it is, whatever your job is, don't stand there and just talk. Work. And if you can't work and talk at the same time, tell people, I just can't. You know, Jenny, she's got a kind of job where she's got to be all in. And so she has to tell people, you know, I have to get back with you and talk to you later. I got to get this done. Amen. And if you have that kind of job, that's what you got to do. Another issue Christians have on the job. I'm not getting a lot of amens, but I understood that going into the day, that there wasn't going to be a whole lot of shouting and people running the aisles while I'm talking. But this is good stuff if you take it, and I'm giving you everything. This ain't originating with me. This is stuff I learned from other people, not just preachers, other Christians who have worked through the years. But a lot of this I've experienced myself. A temptation to cut corners or other unethical behavior, including theft. They won't miss this ream of paper, will they? They won't miss these pencils, will they? They won't miss this gallon of milk, will they? Yeah, amen?
Yeah,
amen.
Expire.
Now, if your boss says you can have those eggs,
yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. But if you're, you know, putting stuff... I had this guy I worked for. I loved working for this guy. He was a great boss. And I'm not going to say where I worked, but it was a grocery store. I came in one day, and there's two people crying, and another guy over here just doesn't look happy. I'm thinking somebody died. You know? So I waited a little bit and I asked somebody. And they said, so-and-so got fired. He was only 6 months away from full retirement. I said, fired? Best boss I ever had. He had taken a product that was going to be thrown away. So in his mind, it was all right for him to send it out back and come around after hours and pick it up. You know, one of the managers said, you know, if he just asked, we would let him have it. But the way he did it and what he did was theft. He was 6 months away from retirement. He was 60-some years old. Lost his retirement. He ended up filing some, you know, this and that, and he got some of it back. Thank God. I prayed for him to get it. But listen, theft is theft. I don't care if you don't think you're ever going to get caught, and I don't care if you never do get caught. It's still theft. Stealing time from your employer? Theft. Stealing pencils from your employer? Theft. I know a guy who used to take the toilet paper off the thing and take it home where I went. I'm like, what in the world? You know, well, some of us need to use that. And I said, you're going to lose your job over toilet paper? If you get caught, you're going to get fired. I don't know if you ever stopped or not. Crazy. And another one, issues that Christians have on the job. Discouragement from lack of incentive and reward. Man, oh man. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can work, and some guys will never even give you a cup of coffee to show appreciation for it. And I don't even want to look at Andrew because I don't know whether he does or not. But yeah. But let me tell you something. I've worked for some real cheapskates. And they don't show any difference between the bum and the guy who works hard. But, you know, there's a story about that. We don't have time to run to it, but Jesus tells a story about that. You know, the guy who started at crack of dawn, and then another guy started at 3 p.m. And, you know, they agreed to the pay, and Jesus said, you know what? You agree to the pay, then you take the pay, and just, you know, be happy with serving the Lord, and don't complain and whine and gripe about it. But, man, that's hard to take, isn't it? I was making less money than several people who sat around watching me work all day. And I put in years like that. And I had to run to that story and run to the different scriptures to remind me, the Lord will take care of it. He certainly has. I mean, just this little prized possession of mine right here in row number two. I mean, how do I know that's not God saying, you know what, Greg, you're a real good worker. I'm going to give you this little lady. Here's your wife. Amen, Andrew. Yeah. Yeah. Amen, John Albo. Amen. Amen, Dave Reese. Come on, I'm trying to get you that. You know, you're not volunteering it here. I'm giving you an easy home run. Come on, swing. Reality check. If you work hard to please the Lord Jesus, your fleshly boss ought to be satisfied with your job performance. Amen?
Amen?
So the key is in all these things, all you have to do is do what's right. Do right. Do right. That's all you got to do. Do right. Don't do what he's doing or she's doing. Do right. Don't do what the world's doing. Do right. Verse 23 says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Oh, yeah. Now, this is where I failed a lot. I mean, I'd still work hard and everything, but I'd be over there going, oh, I wish I could cuss because right now I got some words I'd like to say.
Yes.
I get the work done, but man, I wasn't very heartily about it. I was disheartened. I'm not just confessing. Confessing is good for the soul. Amen?
Amen.
To this day, Jenny will tell you, there's times, just the other day, I was like, I'm so sick of this. You spend hundreds of dollars to get crap. I mean, you get a camera, you get a computer, you do a car, amen. You spend all this money. The work ethic is out the window in America today. The product itself is crap. Why? Because of Christ being thrown out. Yeah, the Chinese are a communist nation who we get a lot of our crap from, and that's why it's crap. It's from a communist country. They're godless.
Right.
Yep.
And American productivity and quality has gone out the window.
Right.
I finally found a place where I can get a T-shirt worth the money at, what's it called?
Duluth.
I mean, these days, they're paper thin. You wear them three times and the pits turn to concrete. And it right up on your belly button. You know, you can't tuck the things in because they're cutting the amount of material they give you in a T-shirt. They're cutting the quality. They're cutting the amount. Raising the price.
Of course.
So I would rather pay. Now, I got them on sale. I always wait for them on sale. But you go get a good T-shirt. It's like $12 at Duluth. I've got T-shirts I've had for 5 to 6 years now. When I buy that crap at Walmart, it lasts 6 months. I mean, the quality is just horrible today. And it's because of this Christian work ethic going out the window. Apostasy doesn't just affect the attendance in church. Apostasy affects your entire culture.
Amen.
And when you pay attention to people watching you, it tends to make matters worse. It's hard to work heartily under the Lord if you're looking around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I said earlier, you look up. Look up. Keep your eyes on your real boss. Look in the scripture. Keep your eyes on ethics from this book, not situation ethics out there in the culture. When you think people are looking at you or you're worried about people looking at you, this is what happens. There's a bear getting slapped in the face with a fish. I love this, as me doing something I'm perfectly capable of and have done before, but someone decides to watch.
Yep.
But it's also just the fact, if you pay attention to the fact that you're being watched or worried about what other people think about you. Let me tell you a secret. Mm-hmm. Some of you here might be like this. You worry about what other people think about you.
Yeah.
What do they think about my face? I don't even want to know. What do they think about how I dress? What do they think? I got news for you. They're sitting there worried about what you're thinking of them. They're not really, they don't really care what you think of them as long as it's not bad. Well, the other guys, they're so enthralled with trying to please everybody else. That's the weird thing about our culture. On social media, and it's everybody trying to please everybody, worried about what everybody thinks about. It'll drive you crazy. And it'll hurt your performance when it comes to the way you work. You work focused as unto the Lord. And it'll change your productivity, it'll change your life. You'll be happier on the job, you'll be happier in real life. You'll go home less frustrated, etc. And whatsoever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And there you have it. But Paul goes on to explain in the next verse 24. Are you there?
Yeah.
Verse 24, read that with me. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for he served the Lord Christ. See, if you can be, people say, so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. That's not, people who are like that, they're not heavenly minded. They're distracted. See, there's a difference between being heavenly minded and distracted. If you're heavenly minded, it means that you care about what the Lord of heaven on the throne thinks of you. Therefore, you're not only earthly good, but you're the best. You'll be the best at what you're doing. The highest quality, the highest performance. Taking some pride in what you do. Not pride in the sense of look at me, pride in I know that God's watching me and I care about the quality. And it just affects them on it in the opposite way. It affects the way you work, it affects the way you go home in the other direction. You'll feel better about what you're doing. You'll be a better person to live with. Better reward awaits. I've said this about it. The world can be thankful that I'm not an atheist or agnostic, because I believe in what's to come. When you see a lot of these guys that go off, I have to believe that guy who shot up that New Zealand mosque, he doesn't think there's going to be a payday. And you think of any of these, over in Nigeria, Christians are being murdered by the thousands. The people who are killing all those Christians, they don't really expect there to be a payday, a judgment day. Ask your question, do you believe in judgment day?
Yeah.
Do you believe there's going to be a day where you stand in front of Jesus Christ? I'm up here in this pulpit, above you like this. Well, there's coming a day when someone who has a better face... and is holy, who is God Almighty, sitting on a throne, and you're going to be the only person he's talking to.
Yeah, that's right.
You think about that? Man, I do. I think about it. There's going to be a day where I stand by myself in front of Jesus Christ on a throne.
That's right.
Thank God. The
beam of
seed and not the great white.
Absolutely. Amen. Better reward awaits if you serve the Lord. Look at Galatians 6. We're going to have to move. I know lunchtime, but let's run a couple of references and then we'll close it up.
Sure.
Galatians 6, verses 4 through 10. Familiar. I want to start reading while you're turning there. Verse 4, but let every man prove his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. In other words, if you know I have a need as your teacher, if you know John Alwall has a need or Steve has a need, and you can help meet that need, you ought to do that. Verse 7. Read it with me. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8, read that too. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It's a simple principle. If all you're worried about is the here and now, and me, you'll get what's coming to you. But if you're worried about pleasing God, who is Spirit, who has put His Spirit in you, and you sow in the Spirit, then you'll reap that too. It'll be good. Verses 9 and 10 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. In other words, you should look around here and see, if you work, then you ought to have substance. And if you have substance and you can help somebody around you, you ought to do that. Amen?
Amen.
Now, notice how what we just read in Galatians 6 goes hand in hand with our next verse in Colossians 3. What we just read, and then we go to Colossians 3:25, the last verse in the chapter. Read that with me. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. You see how that works? Scripture with scripture. If you will work as unto the Lord, you'll reap benefit. If you will not work as unto the Lord, you'll reap that too. And I've seen a lot of professing Christians who have not worked as unto the Lord, have not spent their life serving the Lord, and then later on in they get up in years and everything falls apart. And I'm just, as your friend and your pastor, telling you, don't do that. Do what's right. Your behavior matters. Your choices matter. The way you work on the job matters. The way you treat your spouse, children, siblings, friends matters. All of it matters. The child of God is to be the servant of God, first and foremost. That's who you serve. And good behavior is rewarded. Bad behavior is chastised. Go over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12:5-8. Begins verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Read verse 6 with me. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you aren't working as unto the Lord in every area of your life, really, God's going to deal with you. And when he does, you know what you should do? Get mad. Scream at God. No, you should say, well, Lord, thank you. You're confirming I am your child, and I deserve it. I deserve this. I deserve the chastening. I deserve what's coming. And then say, I'm going to do better. I'm going to make a change. Verse 7 says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? In other words, if you're on the job or wherever you're at, you're not serving the Lord, and God doesn't chasten you, you're in a bad place. If you're going to choose to live against God's word, you better hope God does chasten you. Otherwise, he's not dealing with you as a son. Verse 8. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. That means you're not saved. You're not a child of God. That's what a bastard means. Not one of God's children. Now, America once benefited from a majority with this biblical work ethic. And those days are over, as I said earlier.
Yeah.
You, as a Christian, pretty much in all areas of your life, if you live according to this book, you're going to be the weirdo.
Yeah.
You're going to be the exception. That includes on the job. And just one more thing as we close. My clicker worked. This message is for the saved sinner that we've just taught. This is for you saved people. If you're not saved, you have bigger issues. Amen?
Amen.
The lost sinner must understand this. The saved sinner must preach this. What I'm about to say, if you're not saved, you need to understand this before you go any further. If you are saved, you need to be able to preach this. You need to be able to explain this to people. The gospel, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You have to understand that you are a sinner who deserves to go to hell. But Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood and paid for your sins. And He proved He was able to do that when He raised His own body from the dead, conquering sin and death. He has the power over life and death. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. If any may believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Because Jesus is God. He is the creator God who came as a man to die and pay for our sins. Now the invitation is this. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, you're walking straight forward to hell. You need to repent. That is a change of heart and mind that results in a change of action. It's not the action, but it's what causes the change of action. And it begins with faith in that gospel. When you turn from your pathway to hell, we used to sing back in the 80s, you're on the highway to hell. Yes, every one of you who weren't saved are on that highway.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to repent toward the highway to heaven, which is through Jesus Christ. He is the way. The truth and the life, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, here's the warning. Jesus said this. This is quoting Jesus. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. What do I have to do to go to hell, preacher? Nothing.
Amen.
You're going to hell right now.
Yep.
If you're not saved, you're going to hell. Don't I have to do something? Murder somebody or something? Nope. Nope. You need to be a good person, pay your taxes and all that. You'll still go to hell. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Amen.
So if you want to go to hell, don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Then this will happen, the coming judgment. This is the end of the book. Revelation 20:15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If you're not saved, you can work as hard as you want, be the best employee, and you will still split hell wide open. Jesus came and died so that you can be saved. Shed his blood so that you could be saved.
Amen.
And if you don't do that, you know what you're doing? You might as well walk right up to God and go in his face. God himself came and died for your sins, and you think you don't need that. Right in his face. But I guarantee you, at the Great White Throne, ain't nobody going to be spitting on God. So it's your choice. You either get right now, bow your knees to the Lord Jesus Christ, or there's coming a day where you will bow and it'll be too late. And then after you get that settled, we'll talk more about being a servant. Amen.
The Lord bless thee,
the Lord bless thee
and keep thee.
And keep
the Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee,
the Lord bless thee
and keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance on thee and give thee peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord